if we can. And of course, we will derive a lot of benefit from it. One of them is Surah, the Surah Kahf. As far as Surah Kahf is concerned, there are tremendous amount of lessons that are derived from it. One of them being a group of youth that dedicated themselves towards the worshipping of Allah, worshipping of a given creator, the creator that you and I believe in. And this youth were very, very young. The Quran talks about it, our fitya to ilal kahf. The word fitya in Arabic doesn't just refer to youth, but a particular age range of youth. And some say it refers to the age between 13 and 17, roughly somewhere around there. Suffice to say, these were youth that were inclined towards Allah, and they did not like the oppressive measures of the given king at that point in time. Now we know the talent Allah has given youth, it is phenomenal. I mean, the youth have such great talent that they can sit there polishing that car so good that when the sun shines on it, you will become blinded by it. That's how much energy Allah has given the youth out there. Also, as far as the youth are concerned, the energy they have, as far as staying up is concerned, I mean, by 11, 12 o'clock on a regular night, I'm out. But the youth, they can text all night till 3 in the morning and somehow make it to school at 7 in the morning, half awake, half sleepy, with the hair up, and they will somehow even pass that exam. Allah has given them this ability, given them this strength, and given them this vigor. And it is our duty, we learn from this ayah and this given surah, that we should help our youth, rather than become the fastest texting individual out there, help make them successful in the area of both, in the area of deen, as well as in the area of the school. In college, they must excel. In the aspects of religion, they must be able to excel. And if we continue to navigate the energies and help them pursue the right pathway, then they can become like the people of the cave as well. To become the people of the cave is very, very easy. We have to understand who our Allah is, what our religion demands of us, and find the right combination and the right way of getting ourselves activated to following what Allah wishes for us to follow. And inshallah, if we do that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make our youth become talked about in many, many generations to come later. Like these given boys, these given youth, we talk about them now, not because they had a lot of wealth, not because they were very, very necessarily intelligent in as far as worldly aspects are concerned. Allah made them a miracle. In fact, the story goes, and I'll give it a very short version. When they went into the cave, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that they would later fall asleep. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that their bodies would turn through a miracle process. So that way, the place that they are sleeping on does not become such, it eats up into the body. We all know when a baby is born, what do they say? Turn the child's head. So the child doesn't have a flat head. And they say, doctors say all these things because they want the child's head to be perfect and round. We are very, very amazed. And we are very amazing individuals. The child's head must be perfect when the child is born. But what we put inside that head, that we don't care about. The child will watch anything and everything. The mother gets very busy, go and watch TV. Here's the phone, play the games. I mean, I'm amazed. Three-year-old kids, they can barely speak. They know how to put the passcode in and find the way to play a game that I cannot even understand how they are playing. But this is the amazing thing about our modern-day children. And there is nothing wrong with that. Alhamdulillah, they must enjoy the games, enjoy what a child enjoys. But at the same time, we have to now channel the energies, not just making the head round, but making sure what goes in the head is also fair, accurate, and driven towards what Allah demands. So for example, the television shows they watch, we have to regulate that. The type of company they have, we have to regulate that. The type of food that will nourish them, we have to regulate that. That is the duty of a parent. Even if a parent is doing something wrong, for example, there are many families that I've met in my life where the father, for example, one father, he was working in a bank. He was very embarrassed about it, but he had to have that certain type of income to run a certain life. When he heard the sheikh talk about the ill nature
of earning through riba, what did he do? He continued working in the bank. Now this is the difference between going to just any scholar and getting advice and going to a scholar that cares about you. And what did the scholar tell him? The scholar said, look, your wife's lifestyle is quite up there. She's not going to change overnight. Your child is used to a fancy car, a fancy lifestyle as well. You have daughter-in-laws in your home. You are used to a lifestyle that is beyond the average. So what you do is the following. You continue working where you have to work. Because if you're not going to work there, you're going to lose the income. You're going to lose the income, your children are going to walk away from you. Because children now are used to a certain type of well-being. Thereafter, the scholar said something very, very important. He says, on the side, however, get a night job. Or get an early morning job. Whether it's throwing newspapers, whether it is selling gasoline, whatever it may be. So long as the environment is away from that which is impure, and you begin spending that wealth, that pure wealth, on the table. Maybe you can't spend it fully on rent, etc., etc. But at least in that which your children or your grandchildren consume, Allah, inshallah, would later on open your doors for you. So again, it's the duty of a parent. And of course, when you talk to this man now, the story has changed. You look at his children, you look at his grandchildren. Alhamdulillah, Allah made them as part of the ulama, etc., etc. So what I'm saying is, we may be involved in wrong. That is there. But gradually, we have to now re-evaluate our situation to start putting that wrong, that may be the majority, gradually right. And this is the duty of every parent. And inshallah, in time to come, then we too can have children that make good decisions like the boys of Surah Kahf made back then. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, and this ayah is very well misrepresented in the media and by some Muslims. The Quran says, فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. If you want to believe, believe. If you don't want to believe, don't believe. So people say, see, Allah is telling me I can be a kafir. That's what they say. Allah is telling me I can be a kafir. Allah says, if you want to believe, you believe. If you don't want to believe, you don't believe. Now, it's just like a father telling a child, if you want to be good, be good. If you don't want to be good, do whatever you want to do. So what does that mean? The child can go burn the house down, but the father said, I can do whatever I want to do. It doesn't mean that. Sometimes the mother tells the child, don't go around with those certain friends. And the child doesn't want to listen. They say, just go and play with whoever you want. So now what does it mean? The child can go and become friends with druggies? No, it doesn't mean that. Allah is saying, I'm trying. I'm giving you good advice. You don't want to listen. Now I'm going to say, if you want to believe, you believe. You don't want to believe, you don't want to believe. But thereafter Allah says the following, Inna a'tadna lil-zalimina naran ahata bihim suradiqha. That if you choose wrongfully, and you choose that you don't want to go towards that which is good, then understand that the outcome will be very devastating. As part of the ayah it says, بِئِسَ الشَّرَابِ. You will be having the worst of drinks to take part in as far as the hereafter is concerned. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about two types of men. One type of person that wanted to enjoy life in this world, and one individual that wanted to enjoy the hereafter. And you'll always come across friends like this. There'll always be two individuals. One will say, I want to have the life, and the other will say, what is this life? Let me make better decisions. And naturally, the one that made the better decision, although had a harder life in this world, Allah gave him and will give him much more in the hereafter. Now, we come to the question, what is the thing that creates our problem? And you know the answer I'm going to give. Al-malu wal-banuna zinatul hayatid dunya. The things that create our destruction, unfortunately, in this world, number one, it is wealth. Number two, it is our children. And number three, the various types of beautifications in this world. For some it will be men, for some it will be women, for some it will be houses, some it will be cars, for some it will be fancy trips, whatever it is. Allah says, understand well, وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتُ خَيْرٌ. The thing that will last longest with you, and the best thing for you to do, is to take part in doing good deeds, so that way those good deeds will help you not only inshallah in this world but in the hereafter to come as well. As part of an example, Allah talks about Dhul-Qarnayn. This man was given dominion. He was one of the individuals that was given dominion over basically the living world as you and I understand it. However, he did and he continued doing In the end, people praised him. In the end, people said, thank you. What did he say? هَذَا رَحْمَةٌ مِّن رَبِّي. That as far as you praising me is concerned, as far as you being nice to me is concerned, all what I am giving you is as a result of my Allah and my Allah's mercy upon me, that He has placed this goodness in me that I will share with you. I'm not doing it and I'm not giving you because of who I am. Come back again to Yusuf alayhi salam. Yusuf alayhi salam is congratulated. Alhamdulillah, you got out of prison. Alhamdulillah, you did not commit zina. Alhamdulillah, you have the ability to interpret dreams. Alhamdulillah, even though you could have oppressed your brothers at a time when they came to you, Allah made it such, when they asked, who are you? What did He say? Ana Yusuf wa hadha akhi. He didn't say, I'm Yusuf. He didn't say that. They asked Him, who are you? The answer was, I'm Yusuf. He didn't say, I'm Yusuf. He said, Ana Yusuf, and immediately he deflected. He did not have to deflect. He could have said, I am Yusuf, now it's your turn to pay the price. You threw me in the well back then. Now I can throw you in the well and cover that well up so nobody can take you out of the well. He didn't say that. He said, Ana Yusuf wa hadha akhi. I am Yusuf, and by the way, for the record, this is also my brother, and it's not all about me. So here again we're learning. Just as Yusuf alayhi salam, what did he say? Wa ma ubarri'u nafsi inna nafsa al-ammara. That I could have went to what's wrong. I could have been misguided. But my Allah saved me. Illa ma rahima rabbi. The rahma of my Allah, the mercy of my Allah. Not my intelligence, not my wealth, not my family, not my lineage, not my education, nothing. What saved me? Only the mercy of Allah. And again, same thing happens here. Hada rahmatun rabbi. Only as a result of the mercy of my Allah that I was able to share my wealth and safeguard many of the people out there from ruin and aid in the construction of humanity rather than their destruction. Of course, there is so much more we have read, but I will stop right now with the essence of time. May Allah SWT help us in understanding the value of being good and learning from the story of Surah Kahf. May Allah SWT help us and guide us at all times. Wa akhu da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidum majid. Allahumma dhakkirna bima nasina wa 'allimna ma jahilna wa rzuqna tilawatahu.